of Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back with Gene and Chris on the Paracast this week, where we're going to do something we do every few months, and that is to sit here, assess what's going on in the UFO and paranormal fields, kind of talk shop, talk about the issues that are important to you listeners. As a matter of fact, we always look at the Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com to see the subjects that get action, to get all the discussions. And obviously one of is the state of the U.S. economy. We're not a political show necessarily, so I won't get into that. But one thing struck me, Chris, and maybe it's about education, I don't know. But I saw a survey the other day that most people in the U.S. who were surveyed, and surveys can be inaccurate, but let's assume it's a fair survey, most people in the survey did not know what the debt limit means. They had no idea. And I think part of it is because the name is misleading. Because they think, well, if you increase the debt limit, you spend more money. And that's not how it works. The way the debt limit works is it sets a limit for how much the Treasury can borrow, if necessary, to pay its bills. So if you set a debt ceiling and you hit that debt ceiling, they can't pay the bills anymore. It's like, for example, you have a credit card bill coming next month or your mortgage, and you need someone to approve your payment of that bill. And if you don't get it, the bill isn't paid. So what happens? Your credit card may be in default. You may get foreclosed on your house. If you get the picture, the debt ceiling, the debt limit is not an approval of more spending. That's done by the U.S. Congress. It's appropriated by
it's like,
Congress.
It's like a credit limit on your credit card. Once you hit that limit, you can't borrow anymore unless you reapply for a higher, you know, a higher credit line.
Right. It's not spending more. It is paying back what you owe. And that's the distinction which I think is lost. But the problem is here is that it looks like half the people in Congress don't understand that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really been, it hasn't been good for me. I really rely on October for my Grand Canyon tours that I do, and I'm dead in the water. I've lost four lucrative runs up there since this whole shutdown occurred. So it's been a little aggravating and frustrating for me, for sure, personally.
It's just wacky over there. You wonder how some of these people who are ignorant of the fundamentals of how the country works get elected to public office, and they're supposed to run the thing. That's bad enough. The second thing which is confusing here is, I think it's the 14th Amendment, which says basically that the U.S. must pay its bills. So even if the debt ceiling is not approved at the end, would the president not have the authority to say, well, the Constitution says I've got to pay the bills no matter what, and you can't tell me not because that would be unconstitutional. So it could be push come to shove, something like that could happen. It's a wacky world out there. Of course, also it's wacky they've got this crazy site up for the health care bill. And this is not a question of being for or against it. But, Chris, you would feel this using a Mac as I do. Apple Safari is not compatible with the federal version of the health care marketplace. If states run it, they have their own programming. But the idiots who programmed the federal version, it doesn't work on Safari for the Mac.
Wow, I didn't know that, Gene. That's kind of a Homer Simpson moment there in the IT department of the federal government.
Well, they hire these contractors who supposedly specialize in building government-related websites. And this is not the first time they had this. When they approved the Medicare Part D prescription drug bill back about 9 or 10 years ago, it took them weeks to get the websites to work. So that's the way it works. What can I tell you?
Well, it's a wacky world, Gene, and we're right in the middle of it.
They're still discussing the Roswell Dream Team nightmare.
Oh, boy.
It's never going to end.
Drive a stake in that vampire.
I think they said that about Aztec. But even with Roswell, have we had enough of Roswell? Every time we try to drop that subject and say, there will be no more discussions of Roswell on the Paracast, And then we relent because we're sensitive folks. And we see something interesting, we relent. We bring back somebody to talk about Roswell or, on a rare occasion, Aztec. And we get a lot of questions from the audience. You all want to hear about it. It's a subject that you don't want to hear about until you want to hear about it. One of our recent popular shows didn't quite deal with Roswell, but sort of dealt with it. That was Donald Schmidt, who with Tom Carrier wrote this book about the real Area 51, which is actually Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, because supposedly the wreckage from the Roswell crash was brought there. So therefore, that became a ripe topic for discussion in one of our most popular episodes. Of course, a few people were concerned about the qualifications of Mr. Schmidt, not because he worked at the post office, but supposedly because some of his educational credentials were a bit questionable. I don't think, however, as drastic as Phil Imbrogno.
Yeah. Well, again, I as we said on the show prior to Schmidt coming on, that we had already covered that ground prior to that, and he was still he's still a figure in the field. Somehow, he's emerged fairly unscathed from that. I was not aware of some of the claims that have been made about his, shall we say, not really even-handed dealings with the public about his educational background and his work history, claims that he said he was a medical illustrator. I wasn't aware of those particular details, but if we do have him back on, we promise we'll go ahead and and revisit that territory.
The thing is here, is reading the book, I thought it was a well-done book, well-written and everything. But I thought there was some smoke and mirrors in it, especially the chapter where they were talking about the memory metal, where they spent a lot of time talking about the people, the officers who were around that time, and some of the things that may have been written about them, but they never brought it together. It was a lot of flash and very little substance there. It's just basically recapping a lot of the old rumors, and we don't know. And the thing that still bothers me, Chris, is after all these years, is not a single person on this planet who would blow the whistle on something. You can say there's a need to know, and we understand that. Maybe there's a wreckage, and we have some people who look at the wreckage and some people who look at the bodies, and they compartmentalize this as much as possible. But if you add it all up, hundreds or thousands of people have to know something. Now, they're smart enough to be able to do this sort of thing. They're smart enough to know something about what else is going on. And after all these years, nobody says a thing. We have a few rumors here and there, and some people who claim to be whistleblowers, certainly Philip Corso claimed to know something, but that's it, and that's so questionable, where do you go? Why isn't there one person out there, still alive somewhere, who says, the heck with it, I'm going to talk about it?
Yeah, and I've been hoping for someone to find a piece of this wreckage or memory metal in their attic or their basement, in some box of files or something. You would think with all the material that supposedly was gathered up that somebody would have squirreled away a piece or two, and it would have been brought forward by now.
It doesn't make sense to me at all. I can't believe that our government is competent enough to keep a secret this important for that long. Not that they can't keep secrets for a long time. Like, we learned, what, a few years ago that some famous people were spies during World War II. But those weren't really deep secrets. They were rather casual secrets.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if they were or they weren't. Who cares? But here we are talking about something that is so momentous, it's going to change the course of history. We've got proof that we're being visited by beings from other worlds. We have the wreckage. We have the technology. Where is it gone, man?
Yeah.
Not one single person on the planet. Even at the end of their lives, they're not going to come out and say, here's the evidence, here's a smoking gun, and there you go. Gene and Chris are talking shop. We haven't figured out which shop yet, but it's not the little shop of horrors, let me tell you. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237. 37, extension 130.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Not all protein powders are created equal. One World Whey is the first cold temperature processed, 100% all natural, unrefined, bioactive, grass pasture raised milk whey protein. Far from being another ordinary protein supplement, One World Whey is a full spectrum nutrition power food in and of itself, providing overall life building benefits that touch virtually every human's life that other protein supplements don't deliver on. What are the benefits? Boosts the immune system, anti-aging properties, helps detoxification, helps lose body fat, supports excellent blood sugar levels, excellent for building muscle, increases in energy levels, enhances the feelings of youth, energy for exercise and recovery. Who's it for? Anyone wanting to feel healthy and have energy. Busy people, office workers, growing children, students, teachers, seniors, people recovering from illness, and high-performance athletes. Call 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I don't know where I came up with that comment about the little shop of horrors, but sometimes the UFO field can be toxic. I believe, by the way, that none other than Art Bell once said that years ago on the Coast to Coast AM radio show. In the old days, he said something about the UFO field being toxic. Then again, he brought on the people who made it toxic. So it's like,
right. Yeah.
You know, yeah, so if you want to be responsible for the problem that you're complaining about,
stop helping create it.
That's right. I haven't heard much about the show since it's been on. I know the first week he had the usual offenders, the Stephen Greer and the Richard Hoagland and all that. But since then, I've heard nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Mm. I haven't either, actually. It's interesting you should mention that. I should maybe look at some of the guests that he's having on. And it does seem like he's just refrying the, you know, his his old formula that worked pretty well for him in the 90s. I think he may be a little bit passé now. I think people, you know, like our listeners here at the Paracast, they want more biting information. They want new things to ponder, and they don't want to hear new wrinkles of the same old stories that have been rehashed now for 20 years. In the case of Roswell, you know, 60 plus years. So, you know, I think that it's the groundbreaking investigators, the theorists, the creative thinkers out there that are going to, I think, move closer to the front here in the upcoming few years. And I think people are just lusting after something new. And hopefully with all these cell phones that we have out there, I think, Gene, I saw that there's a 41, I think, meg camera phone now that is just phenomenal resolution.
Okay. This is the Nokia Lumia 1020. Has 41 megapixels, which is more than just about every digital camera on the market, which is good. You get all that extra detail. But as a camera, it's okay, because it's not just the megapixels. There's more to a camera than the megapixels, the quality of the lens and all the other circuitry. Like, for example, we have the iPhone 5S, new one from Apple, in my dirty little hands here because I sold all my old smartphones that I had around the house. I had to sell every one of them to pay for this. So thank me for doing this. It's got a wonderful camera. It's 8 megapixels, but what Apple does is make the megapixels larger, makes each pixel larger to capture more light. It's got a double flash on it. So in dim surroundings, it will get the proper color temperature of something. I took a picture nearly pitch black in a bedroom of my dog. I sent you a copy. A beautiful picture. Of course, the dog is white, but there's no color distortion or anything. Under normal circumstances, 8 megapixels is a lot. But if the camera is easy to use and has good features, you should be able to take some really smart stuff with it. I know the National Geographic magazine has been using these iPhone cameras, and they are making wonderful pictures. So basically, you have in your hand, and you don't have to get an iPhone 5S. I got the iPhone 5C for like $99 in the U.S. with a cellular contract, and they have discounts and everything. You can take high-definition movies with it. It's got image stabilization. You got one of these things, there's no excuse not to be able to take a really first-class movie or still of something strange. But most of the pictures we see, I don't know, maybe they're using that $50 Android phone or something. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of it is technique. It kind of leads to a question that we have from one of our new posters at forum.theparacast.com. He calls himself Techno Maggot. Maggot?
Oh, I like that. It kind of sticks to you.
Yeah, it may be Techno Magnet, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he says, Chris, as a video professional, can you explain why there aren't any high-quality, authentic videos or pictures of UFOs with all the new technology available? You would think someone would capture something good by now. I know the UFOs are deliberately elusive, but with the millions of cameras out there, why aren't we getting better evidence? Well, you know, that's a question that's going to be asked more and more as the technology races forward, as we're describing. And I think it boils down to a few things. First of all, people don't look. Everybody's got their faces buried in their cell phones, their smartphones, and their texting. I think people are becoming less and less aware of their surroundings.
By the way, it reminds me of that phrase in Batman Begins, where Liam Neeson tells Christian Bale, Bruce Wayne, you have to be aware of your surroundings, and everybody's looking down at their phone.
Exactly.
But not up in the skies. They don't look to the skies.
Yeah, and that's what I tell people. They say, well, how come you've had so many sightings? I say, because I look. I'm constantly scanning my environment, and you know, I have my eyes above eye level oftentimes, and that's one thing. The other thing is, when an event like a UFO sighting, some sort of spectral image in your house, whether it's a shadow person or a ghost, whatever tag you want to put on it, the instant one of these things shows up, it tends to totally throw you into this place of disbelief, and of you just have this feeling of you're frozen almost. And this has happened to me on more than a few occasions. And I think a lot of times people become transfixed or mesmerized by what they're watching, And the automatic assumption to grab a camera is somehow it's gone. You know, even Ray Stanford, who I talk about frequently on the show, he just had a sighting event in Maryland a couple of weeks back, and he was so transfixed by it, his camera was right next to him. He didn't grab his camera, which is very unlike him. So even someone who has trained themselves to react instantaneously in the face of some inexplicable phenomena, even someone like that can actually kind of zone out and become transfixed or mesmerized by what they're seeing. A lot of these events are very, very fleeting. They don't have a long duration, so you really have to act quickly. And a lot of times people are just, they just want to watch it so much that they forget to just simply grab their cameras. I think this will change now that we have all these really high-quality cameras aboard cell phones now, and I'm hoping that this is going to change.
Of course, you wonder here if there's a trickster element around it, and we always have to go back to tricksters. That people see these things, and maybe some external force keeps people from remembering, I've got my smartphone in my pocket. I can take it out and shoot a picture, shoot a movie. It'd take me just a second to do that. What about that? You're the trickster expert.
That's a good point. I'm not sure if it's something external. I think it's more involved in a reaction of a particular witness. And in terms of quality of pictures, oftentimes when something like this happens, you get really excited and you don't brace yourself to get a nice steady shot, or you're so excited your hand is shaking if you're trying to videotape something. And oftentimes the blurriness or the lack of quality is really operator error. And I think that plays into it as well. And I'm hoping that with this technology now that's just leaping forward, we're going to see more and more visual evidence. But you would think that we would have had, you know, already seen some, which we have. But I think there's a lot of room for improvement in people's reaction to these events.
We're talking again about image stabilization. More and more of the smartphone cameras have it, which means you could shake it up a little bit and get a fairly stable image, but only a little bit. We got a lot, not a little bit, to talk about. Plenty to talk about. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware, and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Talking Shop with Gene and Chris in the Paracast this week. We've got some great guests, though, scheduled. For the next few weeks, we'll be hearing from Nick Redfern, who has a brand new book out, by the way. And we're always anxious to talk to Nick. And a little bit later, possibly the end of the month or early in November, we expect to talk once again to my good buddy Brad Steiger. So that's going to happen. And we got a few surprise guests in the hopper. And Chris is going to be going to this Paradigm Conference in Minnesota before the winter hits. And maybe he'll grab a few interviews there. Right, Chris?
Yeah, that would be good. There's going to be quite a lot of stellar presenters. This will be my chance to actually meet face-to-face Nick Redfern, whom I've never actually really met. And, of course, David Weatherly's going to be there, Micah Hank, Scotty Roberts, Robert Chalk, Robert Bovall. There's quite a lineup, L.A. Mazzulli. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's next weekend. I was hoping to have my book done by then. I'm right at the point of finishing it now. It's now being edited. So, unfortunately, I'm still a little bit behind on it, but I'm really looking forward to comparing notes with Nick and David and Micah and the group. And, you know, networking and learning some new things. I do plan to attend a few of the presentations, which normally I don't do. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I go to conventions occasionally, but I'm more of a hermit. You know, I kind of stay indoors. You know, it's just me, the wife, and the dog, and my computer. And my iPhone. And her iPad. And never the twain shall meet. I'm kidding. I do see people every so often, you know, 5 or 6 years. I come out of the tunnel. You know, I heard, as a matter of fact, it reminds me of this old legend of this songwriter who wrote the song, you know, Everybody's Talking About Me, Can't Hear a Word They're Saying, that Harry Nilsson sang.
Right.
Well, the guy who wrote that song was a real-life hermit. He'd always live in a cave or somewhere, and he'd come out and bring out songs. Of course, that song was used in Midnight Cowboy.
I think it won the Oscar, didn't it?
Something like that, right. You know, so people are, you know, really weird. And I speak of myself first before I talk about really weird people. But this conference is good. We'll probably get some interviews out of it. And just meeting the people once or twice that you talk to on the phone or on Skype or by email is great. Now, as far as Chris's book, I'll tell you, he's working night and day on this thing. Sometime around 2 o'clock this morning, he sent me a chapter to look over. Because there's a group of people out there, and I'm one of them, who are looking over the book, checking everything, make sure it's as perfect as possible. And it's very important. You just can't do this stuff in a vacuum. Chris has done all this great research, and now a few of us will look at the book and maybe suggest things to make the language clearer, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has to be perfect. You need editors out there to make these books work, because you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, that was a knock on my last two books, that Adventures Unlimited Press doesn't really have the whole editing process down the way it probably should be. David, of course, admits that he's just a guerrilla publisher, and he pretty much puts the onus on the writer to deliver the final product. And I have been very grateful to have Gene and a friend from Florida who was the head of creative writing at Florida State for a number of years, is retired now, and she's offered to look at the manuscript. And I really want this. This is going to be, I think, an important work. It's definitely going to have some shelf life. It's going to be a mainstay, as they say in the business, the publishing world. I don't see anybody else that is going to be able to cover this subject as thoroughly as I'm attempting to. And I'm really excited about it now that it's almost done, and I'm looking back at everything that I've compiled and all these databases that I've collated together. It's really jaw dropping, and if you are skeptical of the cattle mutilation mystery, you are going to be hard pressed to argue about some of the cases that are featured in there, some of the lab reports and the science that's been done. It's really amazing. When you look at it in its totality, it's very, very difficult to to argue with it.
Having seen some of the book, there's an amazing amount of research here. I mean, this is a deep book. It's the kind of book that you really have to sit back and read. It's not going to be like a 1,000-page book or something. It's going to be of a reasonable length. But you got to look at the research. And there's very little that you won't know about this cattle mutilation mystery or whatever it is after you read this book.
Cattle in general.
Sure.
I mean,
he gives you the history of cattle, too. You learn about whether beef is the right food to eat. Beef, it's for dinner. Or should it be for dinner? After reading this stuff, you may not want to eat at all.
That's one of the first questions I always get when people, if I give a presentation on the subject, they go, well, do you eat meat? And I love eating beef. I just insist on knowing that it's grass-fed and I know where it's coming from and that it's not some sort of industrialized grain-fed feedlot cow that who knows what evil lurks besides antibiotics and the growth hormones and it's all there. And I think in order to really study the cattle mutilation phenomenon, you have to have a sense and an understanding of our deeply incestuous relationship with bovines. It goes back 30,000 years. I think 32,000 years is the earliest depiction that I found of a cow, a drawing in a cave painting. And I just move forward in a timeline all the way to the present and into the future. So, without sounding too self-promoting here, I do feel a real sense of accomplishment and excitement about this project, and I have a feeling that the book's going to get a little bit of notice.
I agree. Is beef what's for dinner, or what about chicken? Well, they pull the same stunt when they raise chickens, too. So it may not be any better. Maybe we should all become vegetarians. But that didn't help Steve Jobs any. He became a vegetarian, what happens to you happens to you. Maybe that's not the entire picture, but there you go. But at least here we have the book that will set aside the mysticism and the fakery and the rumors and tell you what's really going on. And also just telling you about something that happened over 30,000 years ago, the people who believe the Earth is 6,000 years old are not going to like that.
Right. Well, I go into the Golden Calf and Hathor and the Apis Bull and the Minoan civilization. And I mean, just the exalted history of man's relationship with the sacred cow and the sacred bull, for instance. These animals were revered and they lived in, for instance, the Apis Bull in Egypt lived in its own palace with hundreds of servants. And they would wait, just hang around it, waiting for it to do something that they could interpret in a prophecy kind of way, a prophetic sort of way. So we've lost this sacred relationship with our bovines, and now they're unceremoniously slaughtered you know, a single super rendering plant can process up to 400 animals an hour, which is quite frightening when you think about it.
It becomes an assembly line business. That's unfortunate.
It has. It already is, and it has been since, I think, Upton Sinclair did the big expose in 1902 called The Jungle, which many of us are kind of forced to read as kids in school. And that came on the heels of the Sherman Antitrust Act, which was actually devised in 1896 to break up the beef trust. And it wasn't until The Jungle was released that that the outcry became so loud that certain legal measures were enacted by the government to break up the beef trust. And, you know, all this stuff, mad cow disease, rinderpest. I mean, how many people out there have even heard of rinderpest? It's a scourge that killed almost all the cattle in Europe in the 1860s. All this stuff is connected to the mystery that we now know as the cattle mutilations. And I think I make a pretty good case tying all this stuff together. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. My databases for the actual case histories of the phenomena have never been brought together in this fashion. And when you see how this thing unfolded in the 70s, it's jaw-dropping.
We're going to drop some more jaws on you. Or something, nothing to do with sharks. But today we're kind of sitting around the old campfire, and we're doing that to talk shop. We have your questions left to answer. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
So, you've decided to get prepared. You're not sure that a case of ramen and a couple of granola bars under your bed will cut it as long-term food storage anymore. You're in luck. At Emergency Essentials, we have all the resources to get you started. From three-day emergency bug-out bags to year supplies of food and everything in between. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Traumamax, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Traumamax is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV. the burglar deterrent.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we're just reminding you it's not a plug because there's no way Chris is going to become rich from this book. It just doesn't happen with this kind of book. Stalking the Herd from Adventures Unlimited Press. Chris is in the final stages of editing right now. It should be out in a few weeks. As soon as he puts everything together, send it over, though, send it to the printer, and there you go. Yeah. We're talking shop this week on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. So much to talk about. I've been covering some of the topics that we've got over at the Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com, and we'll get to more of your questions in a moment. I think some people ask like 5 questions, you know, which we probably can't answer, but we'll try. But there's another issue that some people have raised, and I've been of two minds of this, although I kind of like to see if we can do it. And the question is, what would a Paracast UFO paranormal conference look like? The question being, can we do such a thing? Can we have another one of these UFO conferences? And if we sponsored it, if we brought in the best speakers on the planet on UFOs and paranormal subjects, independent scientists and researchers, could we make it work? And that's the question that we're trying to consider right now. Because this is going to be an expensive undertaking. You can't just bring speakers from around the world unless you send them a check and pay their travel expenses and handle the hotel bills. It's going to take a lot of work. And I think we probably have to have an outside committee work with us if we're going to do it. Right, Chris?
Yeah, we definitely would need some help. And it would have to be really well thought out. The whole conference paradigm, I think, is really changing, and it's becoming harder and harder for people who propose these conferences and try to start them up. It's very difficult to get them off the ground. So we're really going to have to do this in a very methodical, well-planned way if we're going to attempt to pull it off. I think it's possible. I think there's room for a more open, less rigid conference like the Paracast would put on. And, you know, I think we need to really, really look at it and get a team together to, you know, explore the possibilities and obviously to do it correctly so it's a success.
Now, I should tell you, we have Jeff Crowell, who's been on the show. He's a longtime member of our forums and a listener. He's one of our forum moderators. And he's been working with us to put together the rudimentary parts of a proposal, get a lot of input. But I'm going to ask you listeners, if you'd like to see a sponsor conference, and something like this would have to be considered on an annual basis, okay, probably in the Phoenix area because that's close to us. If we're going to do this thing, we need input from everyone, pluses and minuses and ideas, how to raise funding, like a Kickstarter campaign, for example, to cover our costs, whatever it would be. Contact us. You could send us a tweet on Twitter, the Paracast. It's the Paracast on Twitter. There's also a Paracast fan club on Facebook. Or just drop into our forums or write news@theparacast.com. The question is, would you like to see the ultimate UFO paranormal conference, or whatever it's going to be, sponsored by the Paracast? If you'd like to make suggestions, maybe you're in the conference business, and you have some input you can offer us, maybe some advice on how to raise capital for it, some advice also on just running it. Because I think a lot of the problems that you have in existing conferences is the people who run it may be eager and enthusiastic, and they care about what they're doing, but do they know how to run a conference? I can't say I do. I think Chris and I would be enthusiastic about it, but we want to bring in some experts. We don't claim to know everything.
I actually put on a conference once, Gene.
You did. I did also. I'll tell you about that in a moment, but let's hear yours.
Yeah, back in the mid-90s, when so many people were interested in the work that I was doing, this is right when the Internet was really starting to gain some momentum, I was asked if I would actually put together a group of speakers and feature them in Colorado in the San Luis Valley, and I did, and it was well attended. Most of the people that came, of course, were locals. There had been a lot of media and press about the sighting waves that were occurring, some of the strange events that were being covered in the media. So there was a bit of a buzz locally, and we actually did it in two places. We did it one day down in Alamosa, and the next day we did it up in Salida. And we had a good turnout. I mean, I was able to cover all my expenses, at least. I didn't lose any money. I didn't make any money. But a lot of people went away, obviously, with a bit of an education about some of these events and phenomena. And also it gave me a chance to really network with locals and increase my sources and my network of sky watchers and people reporting in strange events. So it was, I think, moderately successful, and I breathed a big sigh of relief when I realized that, hey, I was going to generate just enough money to go ahead and pay the bills. You know, I flew in a couple of folks and put them up at hotels and had to pay for the two spaces, of course. And at least I was able to do that, and I think a lot of people locally got a lot out of it. So I'm really hoping that this idea of a Paracast conference is going to get legs, and we could use a team of people helping out and coming up with ideas and brainstorming with us.
We did the same thing back in the 1970s. They had something called the National UFO Conference. Of course, the permanent chairman was the one, the only, Jim Moseley, who's no longer with us. But I got the bid in 1975, I believe. And we ran the conference. It was in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. We had maybe a couple hundred people there, which I think was fairly good at the time. Didn't have a large budget, but we ended up losing $135, which wasn't so bad, you know.
Not bad.
No, of course, that's like $300 in today's dollars, but at least it was decent. People had a lot of fun. We enjoyed it, and I did vow never to do it again. This is the 1970s, so we're talking about a lot of years ago. I said, I'll never do this again unless, you know, I have some business help for it. But now we're back into it again. So it was never say never. We'll have to see how it works out and whether we'll do this kind of thing. I sort of think that it may happen.
That'd be great. I mean, I'd enjoy putting together a, you know, speakers list of really, really cool folks that, you know, that aren't into this to create cults of personality or to promote some foregone conclusion or bang some agenda drum or, you know, there's so much of that in the field now. And there's so many people that are, you know, have to come up with new and different headlines every 6 months to stay in the public eye. I think there's a lot of hardworking people that are in the back, just in the trenches doing the work and not lusting after recognition. Stan Gordon is one of my all time heroes. This guy for 60 years has been, you know, just very methodically running around Pennsylvania and just investigating some of the most mind-warping cases over the years, starting with Kecksburg, of course, was his first real big case. And people like that, I think, deserve more attention. We also need to get, I think, more attention on people that are really looking at this in a new and creative way, out-of-the-box thinkers. And I think there's a way to do this and present this type of information in a way that will be attractive to people if it's marketed properly, obviously. So I'm looking forward to you know, kicking around some ideas and developing this whole thing.
I will promise you, two guests will not be there. We will not invite Stephen Greer. We will not invite Linda Moten Howe. I promise you, they are not invited. I'll say that right now.
Oh.
Can't come.
I just talked to Linda a couple days ago. I'm trying to get her to do an interview for the book, but it's It's not going well. We're just ships in the night.
Well, I wouldn't mind having her on the show, but she'd have to answer some tough questions. I don't know if she does that. I mean, she'll go on coast to coast because it's softball questions, softball interviews. She can just repeat her talking points, and when George Norrie is awake, he might even respond.
No.
You know, someone wrote us not so long ago saying, why are we making personal attacks against Coast to Coast AM? Well, we talk about the show in the sense of what it lacks, which is journalistic cred, asking tough questions, having a lazy host, but that's not a personal attack.
No, it's just, you know, it's just an opinion.
I think George Norrie is a nice guy. That's what they tell me.
George.
I've never met him.
He's a sweetheart. Okay, he's got a good singing voice, too.
He has a good singing voice?
Yeah, he's very talented. He was at some conference recently where he actually got up there and started singing, you know, old standard songs. I think his parents were there or something, and
they
got all
misty-eyed. They must be 2,000 years old now, his parents.
Yeah.
So he's a good singer. I'm sure he's a nice guy. You want to have a beer with him, sit down and talk. But we criticize the show because the show is lazy. But the show also exploits people that do not deserve that attention because they're not helping anything. They're just entertainers.
No.
With Gene and Chris, we're talking shop. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.